so the way it works, the way we collaborate, it's also a match made in heaven, is that I'm unlimited ideas. I mean, I'm writing 3, 4, 5 ideas a day, and then I'll take one of the better ideas. And the idea is based off often I have the hook. I'm really good at the hooks, the chorus. And then I'll just play an idea on my phone that I wrote the night before. And I am his amazing freestyler, and melody lines, and his cadence is interesting. So he brings this really interesting verse that I never would be able to think of. And then we match it with a really catchy hook of mine. And that's where the magic happens.
Welcome to Curious Goldfish, a podcast community where music and curiosity come together through interesting conversations with the music makers of our world. I'm your host, Jason English. You can find Curious Goldfish in all the major podcast and social media platforms. And of course, we have all of our content on our website, curiousgoldfish.com. Jazz composer and producer Roy Ayers once said, quote, "The true beauty of music is that it connects people." How else can you explain the partnership and collaboration of Atlanta musicians IAM and Joel Hoffman? IAM, pronounced like I am, but spelled out E-Y-E-A-M, is a 20-something-year-old African-American hip-hop and R&B artist from the South. Joel Hoffman is a 60-something Jewish surgeon from the Midwest. They've struck a bond through their mutual passion for music, and they're hoping that this polarity of personalities and backgrounds can come together to create something special. Joel writes and plays the music, while IAM mostly brings the vocals. You can hear the combination for yourself as the duo plays two songs at the end of our conversation in the living room of Joel's townhome in downtown Alpharetta, a northern suburb of Atlanta. They're trying to get their unique blend, what Joel calls alternative R&B, out to the masses in any way possible through Joel's record label, RA Collective. Yes, the true beauty of music is that it connects people. And I think the connection between IAM and Joel Hoffman comes through loud and clear in their banter and conversation, and also in their music. IAM and Joel Hoffman from Atlanta, Georgia. Let's dive in. Joel Hoffman, IAM. Nice to meet you guys.
Gang.
Yes, sir.
Oh, this is how it's going to be. Okay. This is how it's going to be.
Yeah.
All right.
A little personality. IAM likes to joke around a lot.
No, it's good. So thanks for your time. We're here in Alpharetta, Georgia at Joel's place. Part townhome, part recording studio, part bachelor pad, part whatever, right?
Yeah. Don't forget the bachelor pad part.
You walk into the main door and there's drums hitting you right away. So it's all about the music.
So the obvious question that I'm sure you guys get asked a lot, and I'll lead with the obvious, is, you know, Joel, you're 60, early 60s, white Jewish surgeon, paired up with what I would imagine IAM. You're in your, you know, African American 20s something.
Yeah. 26.
How'd you guys get paired up, and like why does this work?
This is his favorite story to tell, so I'm gonna let him tell it.
I tell this story all the time. So I got divorced. I was moving in this townhouse about 4 or 5 years ago, and IAM was one of the movers moving my bed in.
Shout out Sophomore Moving Services, y'all go tap in with them.
And I had a guitar sitting on a chair in the side room there, and he's like, "Do you play?" So I start playing a song, and he had a bed frame, and he just starts wailing and doing these runs, and I'm like, dude, we're gonna work together. And he was there with his producer. It took us a little time to hook up, but he came over about a month or two later, and we just clicked. We wrote 4 songs we still perform the first time we even got together. So there's just something magical that I bring, this old school, like indie alternative folk vibe. He brings this R&B vibe, and something meets in the middle, especially when we play acoustically, that really touches people.
Yeah, it's really dope. It's really dope. I think I think the first song we wrote was Money. It was like kind of like a pop alternative when it like clashed together. It's really dope. Like the verse is really like R&B-ish, but then when you get to that hook, it's like boom. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's raw. It's a rock hook.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So Joel, you're the instrument guy, right? Is that fair?
Yeah. So the way it works, the way we collaborate, it's also a match made in heaven. Is that I'm unlimited ideas. I mean, I'm writing 3, 4, 5 ideas a day. And then I'll take one of the better ideas. And the idea is based off often I have the hook. I'm really good at the hooks, the chorus. Mm-hmm. And then I'll just play an idea on my phone that I wrote the night before. And I Am is amazing freestyler, and melody lines and his cadence is interesting. So he brings this really interesting verse that I never would be able to think of. And then we match it with a really catchy hook of mine. And that's where the magic happens.
And then do you both contribute to the songwriting? I mean, I think what you just described probably answers that. But like, who writes more of the lyrics?
Well, like I said, like sometimes it varies, bro. Like sometimes I'll have a good hook and then he'll do knock out the verses. But mainly it'd be him with the hooks, and I'll knock out the verses, and we kind of like tell each other like, hey, I think that's a good bar, or he'll be like, no, I don't like that line. Let's rewrite it. Let's make something stronger. Yeah. So we kind of like just piggyback off each other.
So does it matter? Like, what's crazy is, again, not that age matters, right? But it's cool that music has brought you guys together, because it's like opposites attract kind of thing, right?
Yeah, but go ahead.
I was just going to say, does it, you know, lyrics from other people that I've talked to it's very personal, and like perspective is everything. So obviously you've got a perspective that's completely different than him. So how do you guys make that work?
I think it depends on the song. There's a lot of the songs that he's writing, the verse, he'll relate it to his life. Like a song, Finer Things.
Yeah.
It's about him breaking it and having nice things in life. But the songs, like I wrote a song, the hook called, the song we're going to release the next month that we're featuring No Cap, a rapper, on, called Love's the Sweetest Thing. I wrote the music and the hook is really catchy. So he wrote the verse, but the idea is there because love's the sweetest thing. So write about love.
Yeah.
So it really varies. We don't have an exact formula. Every song's different. There's a song I wrote, Cup of Sugar, that I wrote the whole thing and he just sings it. So, you know, then he does his own R&B stuff too. So,
yeah. So like I came from like writing like a lot of like R&B, pop, rap and stuff like that. So when I met Joe, the acoustic outlet was just different. Then I learned it was like really easy for me to like write too. You know what I'm saying? So I really just niched from that and just try to, like you said, how it's different, like the opposite of track. It really was just a crazy ass blend, bro. We just kind of just ran with it. You know what I'm saying? Like it felt natural. You know what I'm saying? In a way. And usually when I write my songs, I usually have a beat. Like my homeboy would like send me beats and stuff like that, and I'll just be like, oh, I know what I want. I know what I hear instantly when I hear the beat. So when he brought the guitar out, I'm like you said, the melodies that just come to me, man, and like the freestyling just comes to me, and I just know what I want to do exactly once I hear it. So
can I ask an honest question? I am like. Mm-hmm. So do your homeboys look at you and you're like, what the hell are you doing with this guy?
Yo, it's so funny. Like sometimes, you know, sometimes, but then once they hear the music, they're like, damn, okay, I get it. This is crazy.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, like, nah, like, because it's, you know, this writer's from all ages still even in the game. You know what I'm saying? So, I don't get any crazy looks like that, nah.
I got to tell an interesting thing in that regard. So we went into T.I.'s studio with a bunch of people. And a lot of them are more based on hip hop, rap. And I Am brought 10 R&B songs that he wrote with Corbin, our producer, or on his own with another producer. And then we brought in 10 of our songs and we all voted. And the interesting thing is they picked 9 out of 10 songs what we wrote together.
Oh, nice.
Because it's different.
It's so different. Yeah.
There's a lot of great R&B artists out there, and I Am's amazing, but to distinguish yourself in R&B, because it's sort of just some chords, and then you're just sort of free flowing with it. This is more really hooks, really choruses that catch you. Plus, again, this mix of genres makes it. It's interesting. That's the whole point. And I shouldn't mention we're Caller's side. It's not even a project because he's really the artist. But what we do together, we're calling 6226.
Okay, 62 years old and 26 years old. Okay, that's clever.
Yeah, right.
So what is the genre then?
Alternative R&B.
Okay, yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's hard.
Okay. Is there anything out there that people that are listening could compare it to? Like in terms of like, what is there, who's out there that's our alternative R&B right now?
Oh yeah, that's a really good question. I would probably say like Frank Ocean. I think Frank Ocean kind of makes like just alternative R&B in a way, and maybe like Lucky Day.
Okay.
They got some pretty loud music going on. I'm trying to think who else. I don't really know, but I think our stuff is pretty different. A lot of times people try to compare me to Justin Bieber, and I feel like that's a cool relation there. But at the same time, I think in the Weeknd too, yeah. And I feel like it's just like when Justin Bieber started rapping, and people was like, "Whoa, what's going on?" You know what I'm saying? People don't expect me to write the music that we're making together. Mm-hmm. They do. When I get on stage, they expect me, he's gonna rap, he's gonna sing some R&B. But then I do this alternative stuff, and they're just like, wow, okay, like this kid has like talent. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So Joe definitely brought that out of me though, because I never really imagined doing like country or alternative pop. Like, you know what I'm saying? Never really had like the thought of that, but my vocal ability is there to do it. So we're just gonna keep rocking with it.
Nice.
He calls it country, which I don't hear in it.
There's
that
some
much.
Songs we have that's country as hell. It is. I'm from Tennessee. Like there's some songs in it that's mad country. Like we got a song called "On the Run." It's country.
It's a hard song. It's one of our best songs.
It's dope, yeah.
I mean, Beyonce's doing country now. So
yeah, no, we're yeah. And then the other thing I should mention. So, I don't know if we should mention this now, but we like blending genres. And I have another artist as part of our collective label named Dreambeard. He's metal rock. Mm. And so the most popular song so far we've released is these two guys, I Am and Dreambeard, doing a song together, which is R&B and metal, which has never been done before. And we have 320,000 streams on Spotify, 100,000 views on YouTube. So we think we tapped into something with that, blending something interesting that's different, people relate to.
Joel, you're the least R&B looking and metal looking guy that
I look like an older Jewish doctor.
That's so funny.
A little baldish. In good shape.
No, that's good.
I'm in good shape though. You don't get twisted. You know what I'm saying?
No, that's good. So before you guys met, can you briefly kind of tell everybody your personal sort of like backgrounds? Like, you know, you mentioned Tennessee, I Am, you know, did you grow up there? How long have you been in Atlanta?
All right, so I'm from Jackson, Tennessee. It's a small town. It's like 30 minutes from Memphis. We used to go to Memphis, just go to the mall, man. That's how small Jackson is. But I came out here. I had my first recording deal when I was 17. I think that was like 2017, 2018, one of them. I can't really remember. But I got out that deal during COVID, and that's when I think I met you right before COVID happened. But yeah, so right before COVID came, I was signed to a label, and like, you know, things just, you know, we just went our separate ways and stuff like that. And they branched under Outkast. The label was called 762, so I got to meet them and everything. Got to meet Big Boy, got to hang out, lived that little lifestyle for a minute. And really, my music background, my family, they always done music. Like, I have an uncle. He always like had us in the studio in and out, but I didn't take it seriously. I was like 14, 15. I recorded like my first song. And it just led me to like different situations, different managers, different shows. And then I ended up moving out here around 2017, 18. And just, you know, like I said, just to join the Atlanta lifestyle and the music scene. It's really dope out here. It's like a lot of creatives out here and a lot of connections out here.
Well, like if you grew up in the Memphis area, obviously there's worse places to grow up that, you know, in terms of musical influences, right?
Did
you know that growing up in Memphis?
I didn't though. You know what I'm saying? Because I would have probably attacked it more out there a little bit, done more shows out there. I think I went to Nashville for a little bit and I started doing, like before I moved to Atlanta, I was in Nashville for like 2 years.
Yeah.
And I was doing like a lot of their like local shows and stuff like that, but it wasn't like really pitching, you know what I'm saying? Because, you know, Nashville is that country scene for real. I would look at stuff I'm doing now. If I was doing it then in Nashville, yeah, I would have blew. I would have blown up. Like, yeah, because I was in the streets out there heavy.
Yeah.
But Memphis, not like, it was like a lot of more rappers. Like, I'm like, dude, I literally sound like Justin Bieber. You pull up my old music,
yeah,
Cornelius Hobson, whatever. Like, my voice is like really high, you know what I'm saying? So it's hard to promote that. And like those, even when I first came out here, it was hard to find the places to promote it, because like I was singing in strip clubs and shit.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm singing like my 18-year-old ass singing in like all different type of clubs and strip clubs, man. And I was just like, yo, like, how is this marketing? Like, how's this really working? But it, you know, certain R&B club songs, it ended up working out though. You know what I'm saying? I got the fan base, but it was just like, I feel like I should have been still especially with my message, it was still like childlike. So I think around that time I was definitely supposed to be in like schools and colleges and stuff like that. But
nice.
But yeah, the music in Memphis, I really wouldn't know about it. I was always aiming for Atlanta or New York.
Okay.
Like those were the places I wanted to go because I knew those are like the biggest cities that can really get you on.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's good. And then Joel, you're from the Midwest?
Yeah, I'm from Indianapolis.
Okay.
And so I started playing guitar in seventh grade. So I've been playing guitar 50 years, which is crazy.
Wow. Right.
And I've been in bands. I was in cover bands for a long time. I was in a band in med school called the Kluver Busey Band, and it's a syndrome in monkeys. If you take out the amygdaloid nucleus, they become hypersexual. So everyone thought it was two guys' last names, Kluver and Busey. So we were called the Kluver Busey Band. And then probably my biggest success band doing covers and some original was I did my residency. I'm an ears, nose, throat physician in Cleveland, Ohio. And I put a band together, and I came up with a name. It's called the Retractors, like you retract in surgery.
Okay.
And I had a colorectal surgeon playing drums, a transplant surgeon playing sax, the head of the cardiac CCU at the Cleveland Clinic playing keyboards, and we used to practice at his house. And when we did a show down at the flats in Peabody's Down Under, we'd have 1,500 people to every show. That was the hardest part about me moving to Atlanta in 93, to give up that band. We were interviewed by the newspaper. So I moved here. I was doing some cover bands, and cover bands, you're playing 3-4 hours and splitting $300. It's just, you know, as a doctor, it wasn't doing much for me. And my knack is songwriting. So I started forming some bands with some singers that I always allowed them. I'd bring the chords and the melody lines sometimes, but I didn't write lyrics. And I probably the band I liked the most was called Fox Hollow with an artist locally in Atlanta named Cody Marlowe. And he's crazy talented guy. He sounds like a mix between Bob Dylan and Adam Levine, literally.
Yeah.
And we had a fallout around COVID. And then I just decided to try it on my own. And I wrote 120 songs, lyrics, music, hired the top musicians in Atlanta in a studio in Marietta called The Vault. Then as COVID was dying, I decided I wanted to play the music live. So we did a show at Vinyl. And after that, I'm like, I really want to do something more long term. So I called some of the best musicians I've ever worked with in Atlanta. And that's how I formed RE Collective. So I called I Am, a drummer named Killa, who's toured all over the world. This our producer named Corbin, who plays every instrument and does all the production. His writing partner sings for Cirque du Soleil. His friend also is part of the project, who was a finalist on The Voice, on Miley Cyrus's team.
Yep.
So we just have this all-star band and just started writing music. And the final piece of this, as I formed, I decided not to focus on the band. I made RE Collective a record label, and I saw the potential for I Am to break big. So he signed with me, and then Dreambeard is my other artist. We talked about the metal guy, so they're my two guys I'm focused on now.
Yeah, no, that's cool. So all the doctors that I know are typically like type A, very, you know, by the book. How is it that music, creativity, things like that, how does that, do you think, relate to what you do in the with patients and things like that, and where does that sort of conflict, you know, in terms of how your brain works or how you're, you know, obviously you're passionate about the music.
Yeah, I'm at this point, I'm working half time. I'm way more focused on this, but I find everywhere I go, I think a lot of people that are professionals and lawyers and dentists, there's a certain percentage of them that have a musical talent. The music, even though it's more of a, you know, creativity, but there's still something about how the brain works, and it's different parts of the brain. Analytical side of the brain is the left side of the brain. The creative side is the right side. So I think those people that are professional, they're successful, that are great musicians, they're using both sides of the brain. Most people are more 95% focused on just the analytical. So I feel blessed that I can do both. And often with the amount of music I'm writing, it just feels like it's coming from a higher, I think I Am feels the same thing. The stuff just flows to you. It's crazy.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting. So a lot of the people I've talked to, their inspiration, whether to become a musician or a lot of their songs are born out of trauma, you know, or like crazy, crazy like, circumstances. So like where, you know, where on the spectrum does that sit for you guys? And, you know, is there something you can share with us?
All the way. Like that's all the way true. It's kind of like with comedians, they say that like, some of the best jokes come from the worst shit they've been through. But yeah, I'd definitely say a lot of my best songs come from my heartbreak, but I'm tired of writing breakup songs, man. But yeah, like me personally as a writer, like I write just about life. Like you could tell me a story about your life right now. Like if I'm like inspired by it, a week from now, I have a song like named exactly like that. But it's definitely life, bro. Like the struggle in life and just what inspires you in the good or the bad ways for me.
Yeah, yeah.
For me, because I write so much music, a lot of the songs are based on something, but often I have to just, the way I write is I'll play some chords, come up with a melody, and then I just throw words out there, like throwing paint on a canvas, and one or two words stick. And I just wrote a song called Leaving Colorado. I still have to tweak the pre-chorus, but Colorado came out. Now, okay, I'll just write about Colorado because, you know, if you're writing, I probably have 200 songs. At some point, they're not all about your life. You have to create them a little bit.
Yeah. Is it easier to create those diary songs that are more personal?
Oh, yeah. They come out a lot quicker. Like I wrote a song about suicide that again, I'm a guitarist and I think a good songwriter, but very, very, very average vocalist. I've never focused on it. And I just sang it at Eddie's Attic, and the lyrics meant so much to me, and it came out so easy that those songs really, I like doing better.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely say the diary songs, yeah, they definitely come out easier. But at the same time, too, for me, like, I can't write a song if it's not coming, like, from a real perspective. Mm. Like, it's hard for me to, like I had an opportunity to write for Chris Brown and, like, Jacquees and a singer named Malachi. And it wasn't necessarily hard, but like I had to listen to their songs a little bit more and try to be like, okay, like what would he like write about right now, or his writers. And like I feel like that was the trickiest thing for me, and I had to learn like, okay, I really should just write from my perspective and see if they like it, not like try to get in their bag, because obviously they're, you know, inviting me to come write. So I should definitely just stay in my perspective and see what they like from it. And but like I said, yeah, as a writer, if it's not personal, I don't think like, what are you really writing about?
Yeah. Is there a formula? Like, do you have a formula for the music?
Smoke weed.
Hey, we're gonna play you that song called Joint here. I think it's different who writes it and what we bring. Like right now, I'm bringing songs of my own where Corbin's singing them for me. But the songs we do together, I am about to lay down some vocals on a song Corbin sang to, but I want IAM's vocals on. It's the same backtrack.
Yeah.
So every song's different. Like most songs, obviously, that we write together, or it's all IAM's vocals.
Yeah.
Just get in there and kill that shit. Yeah. Honestly, yeah. Because, I mean, shit, it's all IAM, bro. Yeah. Music. So it's just
what's
like.
E for?
E is for everything. You know what I'm saying? Artist name's IAM. So, like the great. So, okay. I feel like I said, like say IAM is like the most powerful words we can ever use in this universe. So, I just tried to. The name was actually given to me, too, but. Yeah, like E is for everything. Yeah, we'd be tapped in.
Okay. So this will be interesting answers, hopefully. You mentioned you're 62-ish. I am is 26-ish, right? What are you all most curious about at the stage in your life in terms of music, life in general? Like what are you curious about?
Fuck. Well, I don't know if it's curious, but what, you know, as you get older, you start thinking what's important. And for me, I've been successful financially and with my business. I'm a good businessman, and that brings you so. And I like helping patients. I'm my ears, nose, throat, so I operate and fix people. But the passion for music and being able to write something artistic and other people relate to it, and then the other thing I'm realizing. So that's what I'm focused on now with this record label. But I'm also realizing the second part of my life. Hopefully I live to 100 something, but is really, this is besides having this record label, I'm like a mentor to these guys. Now, everyone I'm interacting with, they're in their 20s or 30s. And I didn't even think of it like that. One of my friends pointed that out, like, Joel, this is your purpose right now, is to lead by example and help these guys fulfill their dreams. So that's my mission. And it's just going to make me so happy and so great, you know, if I can make these guys fulfill their dreams. So that we're on a mission together as a team.
Yeah, that's neat.
Yeah, I was just gonna include that, like, and that was dope. I like you brought that up about because I had a couple mentors, but not a mentor like this one, like Joe. And I will say, like, even how you just said that at this time in your life you've been successful for a while, so like that's not like it's important to you because that's what you carry, but it's like it's not your purpose or your mission right now. But for me, being at 26, it's like, yeah, I'm trying to get that bag and get my family out of poverty and everything like that. But like, it just made me think right now, like, damn, once I do that, what am I gonna be focusing on? You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, I mean, of course, the label making it bigger and bringing more artists like me, if they're out here. You know what I'm saying? No, I know they're out there. But definitely, damn, like, that was a really good question. I feel like, because me right now being 26, like, I just want to have fun. Like, I just want to have fun and create and just continue to spread love. That's my biggest mission with being an artist. It's just like being a master MC. I just want the people to know, like love is the most important thing we should spread, like, with each other. You know what I'm saying?
What's the name of that song?
Which song? We got so many. Oh, yeah, Love the Sweetest Thing. Yeah. He's so funny.
Definitely play that song.
Not yet, for sure. But yeah, I mean, that would probably be the most important thing to me right now, is just like get my family up in a better situation, and then so that way they can see the life, see the world. Like, I want to travel like every bit of the world as much as I can. I got a passport and I haven't even used it yet.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, but yeah, other than that, like, that's just the main goal right now. Yeah.
Okay. Well, so, and speaking of goals, so it's early April 2024. I know in March you guys performed at Eddie's Attic, which is a big deal, right? What's the rest of the year look like in terms of singles and albums and tour dates and shows and all the things?
Yeah, so we got a pretty, well, schedule was actually being moved. I know we got shows in May, June, April, you know what I'm saying? Some are festivals, some are gigs in other states. I think right now we focused on putting on an album, but at the state of my career right now, I think a bunch of singles would probably be really good. And until we get that buzz we want, then we're going to drop like a master EP, nice little album.
So we just dropped a song called Breaking Down. You can find on Spotify, Apple Music. And then we did a song we talked about a few times now, Love's the Sweetest Thing, with the rapper named No Cap. So we're looking at a release date in May. And that's the song we think could really do something for us and get us noticed.
Yeah.
I'm working on a show at Vinyl next to Center Stage here in Atlanta. And then we just got a date offer in August for Matilda's, which is a really cool outdoor venue here.
Yeah, that's cool.
Near our house. And we might be doing a show in May in New York at a venue called SOB. Yeah, with the artist named Neem. Is it Neem or something?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know your name. Sorry, we didn't forget your name like that. You're a great artist. But yeah, she's really dope. She signed to RCA, though. That's really good.
And then we have someone else who's trying to help us, who does production for big festivals, and he's trying to get us into one music festival in Atlanta in the fall. And there's a sister festival in Dallas. That would be huge, because that would be on big stages. And we think we have the product. Everyone in the industry who sees us and hears us says, you guys are going to be huge. We just need to get in front of eyeballs. So we think the festival route, it's going to help, because we'll see, I mean, we'd be in front of 10,000 people.
Yeah.
You know, do that a few times, and we think we can grow this.
All right. Well, there's no eyeballs on the podcast, but we have ears. So would you mind playing us a couple songs?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
I hope you're ready, baby. Yo, what's poppin'? It's I Am, aka Megastar E. I'm with CEO Joe. We about to rock out. This is our song, Joint, and then we're going to do Breaking Down for y'all. Hope you guys like it. Said, do you need some smoke? But she said she got that choker. She said her daddy a big roller. She didn't come to play. Oh, she showed me the way. Oh, I'm about to smoke this joint with some healers. I'm about to smoke this joint with some killers. Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm about to smoke this joint on the whole way home. Oh, I'm about to smoke this joint all on my own. Oh, no. Somebody said, hold up, do I know you? She tried to keep my composure. She said, I think I know you. Your mama said she from New Orleans. She tried to put a hex on me, hex on me. She tried to put a sex on me, sex on me. She said it would be heavenly, heavenly. And I can see the demons in her eyes. I'm about to smoke this joint with some healers. I'm about to smoke this joint with some killers, oh, yeah. I'm about to smoke this joint on the hallway, oh. I'm about to smoke this joint all on my own.
That's the shortened version.
Yeah, it's a shorter version, you know what I'm saying? Y'all gotta come to the show to get the full thing, you know what I'm saying, y'all? Yeah, and this is Breaking Down. It's out on all platforms right now. Y'all can get this everywhere. Hope y'all like this. It's I Am with CEO Joe with Art Collective. Oh, yeah. Oh, oh, oh. Da, 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 da. Sorry for the way I've been acting. I've been trying to get through. Sorry for the way I've been crashing, I'm low on truth. Tell me I'm not perfect, tell me I'm an asshole, baby. Tell me what you're gonna do if I'm not getting close to you. Tell me what you're gonna do if I die. You said you wouldn't. Sorry I didn't answer. Baby, I'm just mad ignoring your calls. And you know that I'm a cancer. I'm emotional for no reason at all. And it's cause I know I'm handsome. And I hate how they play with my heart, holding me for a ransom. Tell me what I'm supposed to do without you. Girl, I'm breaking down out loud. Girl, I'm breaking down soon. I'm breaking down your walls, baby, that you tried to keep me in. Break them down. Light the tobacco in my window. I'm breaking you down. I said, hey, hey, oh.
Awesome. Thanks so much for joining us for another episode of Curious Goldfish. Please follow and subscribe to the podcast and on social media. Also, tell your music-loving friends about us too. Until next time, stay curious.